Revelation, if you'd open your Bible there, please, to the 8th chapter. We'll be looking at the first 7 verses of Revelation chapter 8. Revelation chapter 8, the first 7 verses. Let me tell you something about Southwest Church. We believe that a church ought to be a church, and that our primary ministry is to the spirit of man. And we believe that the Bible is the book that we ought to study, and that every person can understand the Bible and use the Bible as a guide for his or her life. I don't want to come into this pulpit and just simply set a lot of rules and regulations for you and say, this is what you'll do, and this is what you'll be, and then ride herd on you and try to make you conform to those rules and regulations. I want you to understand the Bible. I want you to use the Bible to develop your own sense of that which God wants you to do. And then I want you to be out in the world, wherever you work, wherever you are, to witness to people who are not Christians and to live a moral and godly life as a witness to the power of Jesus Christ, to bring people to church and to study a Bible and to pray. And when you have done that, and when we have done that, we've summed up 95% of what we are as a New Testament church. Now understand, that's not the popular theory and the new ideas that are prevalent today in religion. But all of us are aware of the fact that there are so many people involved in unscriptural and extra-biblical activities today and are literally nothing more or less than con men who are using the name of Jesus Christ to enrich themselves and to build gigantic empires. That's what we're seeing today. We don't want to be a part of that. This is not my empire. I'm just a preacher. And I want this church to be strong in itself and in the Word of God, so that when I leave, the great strength and power of Almighty God will be seen in the faces and the lives of the people and not in this pulpit. We're not trying to build some humongous circumstance that's a glory to us. We just like to have a place to sit and worship God in comfort. And if we fill this up, it'll be because God has allowed us to do it by the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. Now that's all I can tell you about Southwest Church, except we need help. We need help. We need help from men and women, and we need help from young people, and we need help from boys and girls who are committed to the truth of God's Word. Nothing big, nothing spectacular, just good, honest, simple teaching and preaching of God's Word. If that is what you believe in, I think you'll like Southwest Church. And I think you'll be comfortable here, and I really think you'll enjoy the tremendous fellowship that we have around the Word of God. Now to the book of Revelation, chapter 8, verses 1 through 7. As we've studied this particular part of the book of Revelation, we can understand that there have been 6 openings of 6 seals. That is, 6 seals have been loosed. And every time one of these seals has been loosed, there has been a phenomenon seen in heaven. That is, a rider of a white horse, rider of a black horse, a rider of a pale horse, rider of another kind of horse. And we have seen the many kinds of tribulation that have fallen upon the inhabitants of this earth. And what we're reading today and what we're studying today is not something that's going on in heaven right now, but it is something that will go on at a future time. You can depend on what we're studying happening someday, because God is going to judge the world, and we're going to see the wrath of the Lamb. Things aren't going to continue like they are, on and on and on, without restraint and without judgment. We have seen the audacity of mankind. We have seen the arrogance of humanity displayed in our present day system here in the United States of America, where people are not serving God. They're not humble. They're not filled with the characteristics that our Lord was filled with. We understand that. We see that. And as we understand the Bible, we know that things aren't going to get better and better until Jesus finally comes back to the earth and settles himself in among the people. We know that isn't going to happen. We know that the earth is going to grow more and more wicked. And then Jesus Christ will come suddenly and will begin his judgment of this earth. And we're going to study now the opening of the seventh seal, which really begins with the sounding of one of the seven trumpets. So the seventh seal and its opening is really the beginning of seven different circumstances upon the earth that are signaled by seven trumpets. So we have the seven seals. The last seal, or the seventh seal, consists of the seven trumpets. But before the seventh seal is loosed, and before the first trumpet of judgment sounds, the Bible tells us that there is a pause in the tribulation that God sends upon the earth. First of all, there is a pause to seal 144,000. All of a sudden, as we are reading the book of Revelation, there is a pause in the judgment of the earth. And 144,000 are sealed. That is 12,000 from every tribe. And then we also see the worship of a multitude that no man can number. And this morning, as we look at the Word of God, we're going to see a continuation of this pause and a circumstance that involves the prayers of God's people. Verse 1, "And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour." One of these days, there's going to be silence in heaven. And this is for the space of about one half hour. And the reason for this silence is that those people who are involved around the throne of God may worship and offer up their prayers to Almighty God. The silence is in heaven now. It is not a silence that is in earth. "And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets." Now remember that angels are not saved people who have gone to heaven. Angels are created beings. And there are two classes of angels, really. And that is those who followed Satan in the fall and those who did not follow Satan in the fall. And these angels are ministering spirits. They carry out the work and the plans of Almighty God. Now, we are made higher than angels. Angels are lower in their creation than mankind. And there are innumerable hosts of angels who serve God. And obviously, there are innumerable hosts of fallen angels that serve Satan. But these angels are in the presence of God. And these seem to have some special standing before God. We see them occasionally around the throne. Seven angels who are holding seven trumpets. Now in verses 3 and 4, the Bible tells us that again, before the trumpet is sounded, there's another pause in this judgment upon the earth. "And another angel," not one of the seven angels, "came and stood at the altar having a golden censer." That is, this other angel, not one of the seven, came and took his place before the altar of God. He had a censer, which is a golden vessel in which incense was to be burned. Incense is simply a sweet-smelling product. Whenever it is burned, it makes a great deal of smoke that is very pleasant to the senses, that is, very pleasant to smell. "And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne." Now, we have a tendency to look at the book of Revelation and say, now look, we understand that the book of Revelation is filled with figurative language. That is, we are looking upon things that are described in figurative terms. And the book of Revelation does have a great deal of figurative or symbolic language. But symbolic and figurative language is given so that we will be able to understand some particular truth. Now, what we're reading today and what we're looking at today is not figurative and it is not symbolic. It is a representation of that which is in heaven at this particular time. That is, a time in the future when God begins the judgment of this world. There is the setting up, really, of this kind of circumstance. It's not an imitation of the Old Testament. It's not an invention that comes along because of the New Testament. But this is an accurate description by John of a circumstance that exists in heaven. Now notice, there was given unto him much incense, that is, unto the angel, and it was given to him by Almighty God, and it was given that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne, that is, before the throne of God. Now here's what John saw. He saw an angel come. The Bible tells us that he had a golden censer, and that God gave him much incense, and that this incense was mixed with the prayers of all the saints, and then this was offered before the altar of Almighty God. And as this was offered, the Bible tells us that it ascended up into the presence of God. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. Now this is literal, and the word ascend means to go up or to climb, and it has in it the idea of a gradual ascension. So when the incense mixed with all the prayers of the saints is emptied out, it ascends up before the throne of Almighty God. Now I realize that this is a rather strange circumstance for you and me. It's a rather strange circumstance as far as our worshiping God is concerned. But remember, we're not talking about what we do now. We're not talking about what Abraham did or Moses did or Isaac did. We're talking about what will happen in the future when God judges this world in his wrath and the world feels the wrath of the Lamb. In other words, one of these days, the end will come. One of these days, the earth will be judged. One of these days, God's people will be judged. And we see a very clear picture of a circumstance that happens before the throne of Almighty God. And as I said, we have seen these pauses in tribulation. We have seen tribulation stop so that God could seal the 144,000 and keep his promise to Abraham. We have seen tribulation delayed so that people could worship God, the numberless multitude. We have seen tribulation delayed, as we have here this morning, for the purpose of God having the prayers of all saints ascend up before him as a memorial and as an offering. We have a tendency, I'm sure, to think that whenever we pray to God, that whatever we say, that that's the end of that particular prayer. I think that there is a continuation and a containment of the prayers of the saints of Almighty God, and that perhaps the prayers that have been prayed to God concerning the kingdom of God. You know, Jesus taught us to pray, and we start the prayer by saying, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." And I certainly am convinced that every time we pray and ask for the kingdom of God to be established on this earth, that prayer is contained in some vial, and it is then emptied before the throne of Almighty God, just like the statement of the martyrs is a continual statement before God. I think the prayers of God's people are continually before Him. Now, God warns the earth. Whenever this is completed, in verse 5, and the angel took the censer, that is the golden censer, and filled it with fire off the altar and cast it upon the earth. Remember, this is in heaven. After the prayers have ascended before God, then the angel takes the golden censer and he fills it with fire from the altar of God, and then he flings or throws or hurls it upon this earth. And I again want you to know that that is a rather strange saying, and we don't comprehend its full meaning. But I believe that this is literal. I really don't think that we need to say this is figurative of a persecution that occurred under some particular emperor hundreds of years ago, or that this occurred when some world war afflicted the world in pain and suffering. I think this is a future event. I think that the angel will take literal fire from the literal altar of Almighty God, that he will literally cast it to the earth. Now, what happens when this censer of fire from the altar of God comes to the earth? Well, first of all, there are voices, literally sounds, a tone, a voice, then thunderings, and then lightnings, and then earthquakes, that is, motion or shaking. We have noticed that this accompanies many times the judgment of God upon the earth. And the word that is translated earthquake is a word that means motion or shaking. And sometimes this motion or the shaking is the shaking of the entire universe itself. On one occasion we've already read that stars fell from their place in heaven and fell upon the earth. We've seen entire mountains shifted about. We've seen some very spectacular things occur because of this motion that God sets up as a part of His judgment of this earth. And the third part of the trees were burnt up, and green grass was burnt up. Now, these are the kind of things that are going to happen because of the angel casting out this censer, golden censer, filled with fire from the altar of God. Now notice, and the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. What happened? Well, we've seen the judgments come. Now there's a pause. We've seen the angels before God as they offered the incense and the prayers of the people. We've seen the censer cast to the earth, and we've seen that it created voices and thunderings and lightnings and earthquakes. And then they prepare themselves for the loosing of the seven seals. You remember the seven-sealed book that we saw early in the book of Revelation? Whenever God was seated on the throne, and there He held in His right hand a book written on the inside, written on the outside, sealed with seven seals. We have seen six of these seals loosed, and we have seen what they have created and caused as the seals came to the earth or fulfilled promises of affliction to the earth. Now, the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. Now the sounding of the first trumpet is the beginning of the fulfillment of the seventh seal. And when this trumpet is sounded, then hail, fire mixed with blood is then cast upon the earth. This idea of mingling literally means a mixture. So there is a mixture of hail and fire and blood that is cast upon the earth by the sounding of the first trumpet. I'd like to read something that one of our people gave to me, because I think it has a testimony and a message that makes what we read in the book of Revelation something that we can perhaps better perceive. Now, I'm not a person who believes that in order to understand the Bible, we have to find some sort of physical way that this prophecy can be fulfilled. And I'm not trying to say that the end of the earth is going to come because men have invented the atomic bomb or the hydrogen bomb, and that the end of the world is going to be the unloosing of these atoms and the final dissolution of all things, just as you might experience in a hydrogen or atomic bomb explosion. I'm not going to make those kind of predictions. But I think that whenever we can find scientific information that verifies those things that can happen, then we can get a little better viewpoint of what we're looking at. Now notice, the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. Now the word that's translated hail means something let go. And it has been translated hail, but it literally means objects that fall. It can mean the ice that falls in a hailstorm, or it can mean other things such as stones. You know, sometimes we use that phrase that because of a certain thing that fire and other material rained down or fell upon the earth. Some of you remember when a plane attached to the Little Rock Air Force Base blew up in flight and fell on several houses on Maryland Avenue. And at that particular time, those people who saw this incident said that many parts of the plane simply rained down or hailed down upon the inhabitants of that part of the city of Little Rock. And this is exactly what we're seeing here. When this occurred, then there was a mixture of things falling from the earth, fire and blood. Now, blood is many times symbolic in the Bible, and it's very difficult to say, well, the fire is not symbolic, the hail is not symbolic, but the blood is symbolic. Well, we understand hail are projectiles being cast upon the earth. The idea of a vast amount of blood being stored somewhere so that it is mixed with fire and hailstones and then cast upon the earth creates in us a desire to find some way that we can understand this occurring. Now, try to get the idea in your mind of something blood red, all right? As red as blood. And I want to read from a very prominent periodical, the Boston Museum of Science newsletter. And Sister Spurgeon left this on my desk. It has to do with dying stars. That is, stars that die. You listen carefully. Dying stars make for interesting obituaries in their death throes. They undergo some of the strangest machinations we know of. There are two basic forces at work within a star: contraction caused by mutual gravitational attraction, and expansion caused by the outward pressure of heated gas. During its lifetime, a star, such as the sun, will undergo minor changes as one or the other of these forces temporarily gets the upper hand. The final expansion, however, will swell the sun, or a star like the sun, enormously. As its outer layers expand, they also cool and hence redden, R-E-D-D-E-N, or turn red, At this stage, a star is known as a red giant. Now you think with me. Here is a scientific publication saying that it's possible that a star in its last stages contracts, heats up, cools, contracts, heats up, and the latter stages cause a very red appearance. Now you put that with the mixture that the Apostle John sees as it is cast from Almighty God, as it is mingled with fire, as it is mingled with other objects raining down upon the earth, and we can easily understand how John saw this circumstance. And as he strives to describe it in the language of his day, he sees it as blood. But it is the result of the universe being shaken and moved about, and actual gigantic portions of the universe falling upon the earth. Now the Bible tells us that this was cast. And there are a number of words that are translated cast, but this word has in it the idea to throw or hit with any kind of missile, or to fall, be translated different ways. But this has in it the idea of the first angel sounding, and there followed hail, fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. It has in it the idea of this actually being directed at and cast upon the earth. It's not something that just accidentally occurred. It occurs because God wills it. Now, what happens on the earth at this particular time when this mixture falls upon the earth? The Bible tells us, and the third part of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up. The word trees means living, growing trees. A third is really tripton, which has in it the idea of one third explicitly. The word burnt means to burn down. It even has in it the idea of a sacrifice. And you know, as I study the book of Revelation, I become more and more convinced that many of the things that occur on this earth occur because God has decided that He will have His circumstances occur that He has predicted and planned. He will have them happen as He wills. Now, this is no minor circumstance. This is not just an amusing Sunday morning story. This is not a message designed to cause you to be afraid of the judgment of God, in the sense that you could use it simply to elicit behavior, good behavior out of your children. You know, don't scare your children with stuff like this. That's not what it's meant for. And don't use it as a threat. This is the way things are going to happen. God isn't threatening the world. God is warning the world. And there's a big difference. Now, when this mixture falls to the earth, a third of the trees are literally burned up, and the Bible tells us that green grass is also burnt. Now, if you'll just think with me for a minute, as this mixture falls, a third of the trees are burnt, and then all green grass is burnt, but it is not destroyed. It is simply burned over, because we're going to see green grass growing again on this earth as we continue to study the book of Revelation. What happens? There is evidently heat so intense that green trees, at least a third of them, are burned, and then green grass on the earth simply burns over like a field on fire. And I understand that this is sort of Luke Skywalker language, but I can tell you that it is the truth of Almighty God. Green grass, all the material that's used for the feeding of cattle, what you're seeing is that this creates a great period of starvation for animals. The animals starve and die, then men starve and die. We have to understand that this is a major complication in the lives of the inhabitants of the earth. It's not just a minor thing that someone wonders at. You know, sometimes we get the idea that the things that happen in the book of Revelation are things that happen, quote, scientifically, that have happened in past times, such as Halley's Comet, and it was just simply frightening to people, and things went on like they'd always gone on. Well, this isn't true. A third part of the trees are burned up. The world, green grass, is burned off around the world. It's made inflammable. It is a major event. It disrupts human activity, and it greatly changes human behavior upon this earth. Now, the message that God is sending to the world is a message that God has sent over and over and over and over again. Because you can tell the message that God is sending by the kind of reception His message receives and the kind of predictions and statements that are made after the message is received. And that message that God sends the earth through these woes, trumpets, and seals is a message of repentance. John the Baptist came and he preached, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." When Jesus came, the Bible tells us from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Peter, after the day of Pentecost, said, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." Why is God sending these things upon the earth? Look at Revelation chapter 9 and verse 20 and 21. Now this is a conclusion of some of the things that we have seen. Now notice, "And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see, neither hear nor talk." Now notice, "neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their theft." What are we saying? When these physical circumstances happen to the earth, we get the idea that immediately the earth begins to cry out for mercy from Almighty God, to repent of their sins, to repent of their evil deeds. But not only in the 9th chapter, but in the 16th chapter, the Bible tells us that men do not repent. That on one occasion they gnaw their tongues with pain and blaspheme and curse Almighty God for what's happening to them. You know, people get the idea that if the right kind of circumstance came along, then people would be saved. The right kind of warning came from Almighty God. The right kind of disturbance came from Almighty God. People would start repenting and they start being saved all over the world. But you know, that isn't true. And Jesus tells us that circumstances seldom bring repentance. When we read in Luke chapter 16 in verses 30 and 31 of the rich man in hell, he said, "If I send someone from hell and tell them of this place, they will repent." And Jesus said, "No, they won't repent. If they won't listen to Moses and the prophets, they wouldn't repent, though one rose from the dead." Revelation chapter 16. And this is just getting ahead of myself, but I want you to see that what happens to the earth does not have a wholesome effect upon the inhabitants. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues. Now notice, and they repented not to give him glory. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pain and their sores, and what? Repented not of their deeds. If the preaching of the cross, if the citation of the gospel of the Son of God will not bring men to repentance and to faith in Jesus Christ, the circumstances of life and the circumstances around the second coming of Christ will not cause the world as a group to repent of their sins and trust in Jesus Christ. Some of you are saying, well, if my loved ones suddenly had some really serious disease, I know they'd get right with God and they'd start going to church and doing what was right. They might do that for a little while, but you know, men soon tire of things like that. People soon tire of that kind of shallow religion that comes from fear. That kind of shallow religion that comes from a threat of physical harm and danger, or a sudden illness that is thrust upon us. I think this settles the question. When these things start happening, will there be a great worldwide revival? No. Is there going to be a great worldwide revival before this happens? Not of true religion. There'll be a great worldwide revival of false religion. And we're seeing the initiatings and the beginnings of that kind of false religion based on carnality and based on the flesh, based on spiritualism, based on reincarnation, based on the appetite of man. We're seeing these things begin today. It's just the beginning, but we're seeing them happen in our day and in our age. Are things going to get better? No. Are things going to get worse? Yes. There may be a temporary respite from time to time, just like we see here in the Bible, when it looks like, hey, it's all over. Man, the worst has occurred. But now we're getting it together and we're starting up again and things are firing up again and the world begin to prosper again. And just at the time when they're saying peace and safety, then God will strike with dramatic intervention. Now there's a way out. And the way out is Jesus Christ. But if you won't repent because of what this book teaches you, and what the Holy Spirit convinces you of in your heart, you wouldn't repent if a star fell from heaven and struck the earth and a third part of the green trees were burned up and all the green grass was suddenly burned over. You said, boy, if something like that happened, I'd get right with God. No, you wouldn't. You'd probably curse God because He let something like that happen. There's time and there's opportunity now for you to trust in and believe in Jesus Christ and to do the will of God. You know, one of these days it's going to be too late. It's going to all be over with. But that time hasn't come. There is time. There is opportunity for you to trust in Christ. There's time and opportunity for you to serve Him and fulfill His will in your life. As we stand and sing this morning, if God speaks to your heart and there is that will stirred in your soul to do His will in your life, you come while we sing this hymn of invitation.